That's really loud.
Thanks. Good morning. My name is Byung, and welcome to CMP. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 5. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, God, for extending your grace and mercies to us this morning. Father, Lord, I thank you that you called out your sons and daughters out to pray today, Lord. Father, Lord, I just humble myself before them, before you and the cross. I just pray that that you use me to convey your heart, God. Father, Lord, I just pray against any distractions of my mind, any errors of my tongue, or any pride in my heart, Lord, as I just try to convey your heart, Lord. And I just pray that you multiply our understandings of your holy scriptures. And Father, Lord, that you make our hearts just ready and fertile ground, Lord, to receive the encouragement that you have for us today. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. So, good morning. today, I want to talk about preaching. And I want to talk about just our Christian mandate to preach the Word of God. The reason why I want to talk about this is, first of all, yesterday I committed to a dinner that before I realized that I had to be doing this yesterday, so even until very late last night, I was just really drawing a blank. And I remember just praying yesterday late at night, just like, God, what am I going to talk about? And the only thing that I could talk about was the urgency of needing to speak today. So that was the root of my inspiration. But also, I think it's really key for us. If you were here at the All Sons meeting last week, Pastor Sam spoke about this desire in his heart to speak about a very controversial topic. And that's the topic of abortion tomorrow. So today I just want to spend some time, especially praying for our pastors, and especially for the message tomorrow. But I really just want to kind of explore the foundations of preaching. And I kind of find myself to be in a very unique position to talk about this. As many of you guys know, I grew up as in a pastor's home. So my father's a pastor. So is many of us in this audience right now, actually. You too, James. And so I've kind of seen what it's kind of like to see firsthand growing up what it's like to be in a pastoring home. And also, I don't consider myself... I am not a spiritual leader in this church. I'm not a pastor, obviously, and I'm not a house church leader. So... So I'm just trying to put a very unbiased input on what I believe preaching should be, and what we here at Solomon's Porch, I think what we really do very, very well. Okay? So what is preaching? Preaching, the fourth chapter of Timothy is labeled Preach the Word, and this is basically Paul's charge to Timothy to continue on to fulfill the ministry of preaching the word. Paul actually wrote this while he was in house arrest, while he was in house arrest in Rome, awaiting his trial, potentially persecution and death, to Timothy, his mentee, who was actually pastoring in the great church of Ephesus in what is now Turkey. The term preach that you see here in verse 2 comes from the Greek word keruso. And keruso, let me put it this way. Nowadays, the word preach is, for better or for worse, a religious terminology. You will only hear it in a church context or another religious institution. But when Paul was writing to Timothy, the notion of this word, keruso, is actually to herald or to proclaim. Long time ago, obviously, when a king had a message for his people, he did not simply just walk into a printing press or log on to his Twitter account. He gathered his heralds, and he sent them out to the towns and villages of his kingdom. It was integral at the time, if you are a recipient from the town of the herald, that you listened and took heed to what the herald had to say. Because if you were to reject the message of the herald, it was equivalent to rejecting the authority of the king. The herald also had the same weight of responsibility to make sure that the message of the king was not misrepresented, and that he had to say it clearly and faithfully. Because to misrepresent the king's message was also just as dangerous as ignoring his message. So this is the natural terminology that Timothy would have known. And brothers and sisters, our nowadays, that mandate has not changed. That mandate to clearly profess and represent the intended meaning of God's word, whether it's from the pulpit or whether it's a life of a Christian, has not changed. In Romans 10, Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he writes all these great things about salvation. And at the very and near the end of Romans 10, in verse 13, he says, "Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." But in verse 14, he says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a teacher? How will they preach unless they are sent?" So there is a central, definitive priority for preaching. And I think, and I really believe that nowadays, preaching the word of God has been diluted, and it has been somehow compromised because of what is going on in this world. And I'll get to that in a bit. Paul's charge to Timothy is the same charge as God's charge to the world. This passage is not only for church pastors, but it's for us, Christians, professing Christians, to and how we should live our lives. It's not technically only about the tongue and speaking and preaching, but it's also how we should live our lives, that our actions and everything that we do reflects the mandate of preaching. It's important for the church also to be a preaching church. What do I mean by that? It means that the whole world, or the whole church, sorry, I should say the whole church, needs to receive this passage for the intended purpose of having a biblical philosophy which holds leaders accountable. And also to encourage them, and to also experience potential revival and reformation within the church. It is our path to become the salt and light of the world. R.T. Kendall's predecessor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, once said that the greatest need of the hour is faithful teaching. And you know, when you talk, the one thing I love about Solomon's Porch is when you talk with people as to why they are here, how they ended up at Solomon's Porch, I will guarantee you 9 out of 10 of them say because it is a church founded on the Word of God. I reflect on my reason as to why this church was so attractive, and that was the reason. It was from the pulpit, not necessarily only just Pastor Sam, but all the pastors, and everything that was spoken from the pulpit was aligned to the truth of the text. Unfortunately, this is probably not a very high priority for a lot of the world. You know, growing up in Canada, we had a lot of church shoppers, and people would consider, you know, church parking lots, or the music styles, or the prominence of a congregation before they would choose sound doctrine of what is preached from the pulpit for them to choose a church. And I think this is so relevant for us, especially in preparation for tomorrow's message, because not a lot of churches will stand behind the pulpit and speak about issues of abortion and issues of homosexuality like our leaders do. So I think that if we are in a pressing time to hear the Word of God here from the pulpit. So the most essential work of the Church of Jesus Christ is to preach the Word of God. If the Word is the center of the Church, the body will shape itself to a biblical standard, like I said. In the passage, Paul calls Timothy to faithfulness in ministry, and the central definitive function of the Church is to preach the Word of God. So here are the reasons as to why we must preach and why we must take it as a priority within the church. I mean, we have, as a church, we have many, many functions. We have, you know, ministries, we have healings, we have children's ministry, we have programs, we have outreach. All that's all good, but the central function of the church must be preaching and living the Word of God. So the first reason as to why we should preach and take it as a priority is that there is a divine accountability to Christian preaching, to faithful Christian preaching. Verse 1 of 2 Timothy says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. I charge you, says Paul. I solemnly charge you. This is not just good advice, but a solemn charge in the presence of God is something that has eternal consequences and eternal weight. I think what Paul is trying to impress upon Timothy here is that there is a divine mandate and a weight of eternity on Christian preaching. What do I mean by that? Paul knew that he was awaiting trial and that he was awaiting death. And Paul knew that Timothy was going to face challenges, but Paul also wanted to impart onto Timothy that Timothy was going to need more than the memories of his dead mentor for him to be encouraged to continue preaching. Timothy had to understand that even when Paul is gone, that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and that it is Jesus that we are accountable to ultimately at the end of this task, is that Jesus will be monitoring his faithfulness to his ministry. So when Paul prefaces the weight of eternity and the mandate to Paul, he's saying that there is a grave consequence if you don't fulfill this part of your ministry, and that it is in part of pastoring and preaching and showing the life of Christ that actually has eternal consequences. The great Charles Spurgeon once was asked by a young preacher he was once asked about the size of, you know, his congregation. And essentially, in his biography, he says that a young preacher came out to him and asked why the young preacher's church did not have the size that he thought that he deserved. And so Charles Spurgeon asks him, well, how many do you preach to every Sunday? And he says, about 100. And then Spurgeon rebukes him and says, young man, 100 souls is more than enough to account for at the seat of judgment one day. And I think that that's true. I think that we should live in a way that when we come to the seat of judgment one day, that we could account for not just nice music and ministry and outreach and things that we did, but we need to be accounted for the faithfulness to the task of preaching and to showing the world that Jesus Christ is, just the way. And I think that we'll be accounted for that ultimately at the end. So what is this great task that has such eternity's weight on it? It's verse 2. It's preach the word. Another reason as to why preaching should be counted as a priority is that there are biblical foundations to preaching. Let's continue to verse 2. It says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instructions. So there are some questions that are answered in verse 2. The first question is, what should you preach? And it says it in the first 3 verses, preach the word. And before you kind of write me off as, you know, Mr. Obvious here, right? I think that that's actually very significant and important. What Paul is trying to impress onto Timothy here is that the power of preaching does not rest in the act of preaching, but it rests in the content of preaching. Essentially, it's just a fancy way of saying, the gospel doesn't work because of our preaching. Our preaching works because of the gospel. And so when Paul advises not only to Timothy that he must preach, he advises him on what he should preach, it's important to know that every message and everything we do should be biblical. The content must be biblical. The pulpit here, when you're leading discussions, and when you're living your life, it's especially the pulpit here, it's no place for, you know, political opinion, personal testimonies, feel-good self-therapies, right? Martin Luther says that the pulpit is a throne of the Word of God. And I think that he has meaning there. The Herald that I spoke about before did not have editorial rights to the king's message, and neither do we. So the first thing is that the content of the message must always be biblical. The second thing is that the meaning of the message must be biblical. And what I mean by that is just because someone is reading scripture, quoting scripture, or discussing scripture does not necessarily make them to be a preacher of the word. The message is only biblical if the point of the message lies to the truth of the text. And I've just been reading a lot of Spurgeon these days. The great Spurgeon always says, every time I preach. So someone comes and challenges Spurgeon again, and they say, Pastor, all your sermons sound the same, right? All of them. They all sound the same. I don't think that the person is talking about his intonation or the way that he delivers the message, but Spurgeon says, good, they should. they should all sound the same. Because every time I open up God's Word and I expose a passage, I try to relate it to the cross. Brothers and sisters, that is our number one mandate. Every time that we open this book, we need to draw a beeline to the cross and make it relevant and make the meaning of the message relevant. There are so many, I've been to a lot of churches where it will fill the pews, it will fill the seats, and a passage will be spoken about, but there will be no meaning behind the text because the cross has not been mentioned once. So instead of pursuing, you know, the nice, the big congregations, the big church, the nice music, we need to go after the deeper meaning of what is preached from the pulpit. So there are, like a while ago, Pastor Sam did a sermon series on how to read the Word of God, and he was talking about, you know, exegesis, and I forget what the other one is. What? Eisegesis, that's what it is, right? Essentially, when you read the text, there are ways that you could extrapolate or interpolate. And same thing with teaching. There is ways that you could preach and teach by exposition or by imposition. And by exposition, I'm talking about, you know, you could explain, you could proclaim, and you could expose the truth of the scriptures. Or imposition is you add your personal opinion to make the word work. And obviously, there's one better way to do it than the other. I've been the meaning of the text, the meaning of the message is important because. I travel a lot, right? Recently, I just got back from holiday as well. And every time you travel and you book something, you know, you get all your dates, you get your airlines, you get, you know, all these things. You get all the information, but the one thing that you don't get is what? What do you not get? You don't get the gate number of your flight when you book your ticket, do you? Right? You have to go to the airport and then find out what gate you should go. But that's the whole. That's probably the most important thing on the day that you travel, isn't it? You can't just walk into the airport on the right day and just say, "Okay, I'm here. I'm booked with so and so airlines. I'm gonna jump onto any plane." You can't say that, right? You have to. If you're meant to go to one gate, go to that gate. Go to gate next to it because that will potentially lead you onto the other side of where you try to go. Same thing with the meaning and the message. If there's even one small deviation, one little deviation that doesn't lie to the truth of God's word, then that could actually really draw people either closer to God or further away from God. Right, so it's important that the meaning of the message is biblical. Another word for it is the focus of the preaching must be biblical. When Paul tells Timothy to preach the word, the understanding is that the New Testament canon has not been completed yet. So Paul had in mind the Old Testament scriptures, but he's saying now that we're post-Christ, you need to read and you need to preach the Old Testament with a New Testament focus as a preacher of God's Word, as a minister of the New Testament. And that's exactly what Spurgeon is trying to say is, you know, that, you know, we try to do that. And the best thing, again, another thing that I love about this church is at the end of every message, there is a relationship between the message and the cross that's behind us, right? And that is, and that should be the only way the message, that the text should be preached to the congregation. So, let that be our focus, that the point of preaching must always be about the virtuous life of Jesus and the glory of his resurrection. Then the last thing. Oh my days. Hold on. Next page. Okay. The next question that is answered in verse 2, and I'm going to speed through this, is when should you preach? Verse 2, it says, in and out of season. The word here, it says, be ready in season and out of season. The be ready part has a sense of urgency and a sense of priority of preaching. Now, the in season, this word eukairos, okay, so there's eukairos and aikairos, which is in and out of kairos. And kairos represent the opportune time. For example, in Mark 14:11, it's the same word that's used that Judas was looking for an opportune time to betray Jesus, right? Same kind of way, essentially a convenient time to look to betray Jesus. So when should we be preaching? We should be preaching when it's convenient, when it's inconvenience, when it's in season, and out of season, when it's not convenient. So you preach when you think that your ministry is fruitful, and you also preach when it's not. No matter what the cost, you should always preach and teach. Whether they say amen or not, whether people show up or not, whether you think it's fruitful or not, whether you think you're succeeding or not, you should always stay. It talks about perseverance. You should always stay to the course and fulfill the task of preaching. If you are in a fruitful season of ministry, don't be foolish like the foolish man and build bigger barns as he makes a harvest. If you are not in a fruitful season, don't try to manipulate the text so that you could appease people to come. The size does not matter of the church. The size of the church does not matter. And I think that that's very difficult for us to actually try to understand, but it's true. Pastor Sam all says it. He says that I will not preach just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And that is someone who's very faithful to the cause of preaching. My father, he also said something very interesting too. He said, I remember he once said that the harvest is at the end and not at the end of the service, right? The harvest is at the end and not at the end of the service. And if we just only have the end of service or end of EMP or end of house church or, other things that is not at the end, then we're going to be very easily discouraged, right? But the harvest is at the end of the age and it's not at the end of service. So keep on preaching in and out of season. Third question, how should you preach? Well, Paul apparently did not, he didn't buy into, our contemporary philosophy of using any method as long as we get the message across, right? Which, a lot of churches do nowadays. Paul basically thinks that message and methodology are tied together. So what is his methodology? It says to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove means to call someone out in error in the hopes that they will turn to confess and repent. Rebuke is the word that he uses in 1 Timothy 5, where he says, just call out the sinning elders. Whether they turn to God or not, it's their responsibility to expose the errors of their hypocrisy. But then when he does it, he gives the third command to exhort, which means that you don't be self-righteous, don't be a Pharisee. Come alongside to your brother or your sister, and you call them to the cross. So how do you do it? You reprove, you rebuke, and you exhort. And I think exhorting is very important. Don't just love the truth. Don't just only love the truth of Scripture, but you also need to love the people who you are ministering to. And again, something that a lot of churches don't do well these days. You know, they say that this is the word of God and that's the truth, and, you know, and we can't love you unless you're a certain kind of way. So keep that in mind as we just go into later just a time of prayer for the message tomorrow. And I think that what we need right now desperately around the pulpits, around this church, around the world is taking the scriptures of God and teaching them in a way that exhorts the other person and empowers them to continue to love and to run towards the cross. Okay? So faithful teaching must include that. The very first word in verse 2 is preach. The last one is instruction. And instruction or to teach. There's no real big difference between the word preach and to teach. So faithful preaching must include doctrinal instructions. And it says to teach with complete patience. Yeah, like the word won't always work to your vision, to your schedule, to your agenda, right? But it has stood the test of time. So, and lastly, in verse 3, so we, what? Preach the word. When? In and out of season. How? By reproving, rebuking, exhorting with great patience and instructions. Verse 3 to 5 says this. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, be sober in all things, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Verse 3, the last reason why we should take Christian preaching as a priority is that there is a spiritual warfare that's happening with Christian preaching. So why does it matter that you preach well, there's a time, there's going to be a time when people turn away from sound doctrine, says Paul. Who are these people? These people are the people of Ephesus that he's writing to, but they're not unbelievers. They are unbelievers, not just on the streets, but they're unbelievers within the church. And they're saying that eventually, if you keep preaching the word of God, you're going to drive some people away. Because their ears are not ready to receive sound doctrine. In John 6, Jesus feeds 5,000. We all know that passage very well. The chapter starts off with Jesus preaching in front of 5,000 men. At the end of the chapter, only 12 of his disciples remain. They all leave. And why do they leave? Well, what happens in between the first part of John and the last part of John 6? Jesus preaches. And he turns around to his disciples, his last 12, and says, are you going to leave me too? Are you going to leave too? And Simon Peter, in his wisdom at the time, says, Lord, where will we go? You have the words and the keys to eternal life. Right? But Paul's warning Timothy here that there's going to be a time when people are turning away from the church. And that is happening in droves right now in America and in the Western world because of topics like how the church has treated minorities, women, homosexuals, people who went through abortion, right? So all these controversial topics are happening around the world, but it is so essential that that preaching of God's word remains faithful within the church, and we have to do it in such a way that people are recipient to it. The scripture is packed with messages and warnings about false teachers, but this is the other side of the coin. It says, you know what? If you continue to preach the way that you are meant to preach, then it will drive some people crazy. It will drive them out of the church, and their ears want to be tickled. This term, I mean, like we say it in kind of like, oh, what are you talking about me? You know, I have itchy ears, right? But in this way, it's an idiom for him to say that there are people who is always going to want to hear something new. Not new revelation, but new things, right? So when someone comes and says, oh, you know, we have a brand new word from God, right? Then you're kind of like, just be cautious, right? It has to stand through the test of time. And the one thing that the Bible has done is it has stood the test of centuries, right? And there's meaning towards behind that. But scripture says a lot about false preachers, and this is the opposite side. And there won't be false teachers unless they are provided a platform. And the people who provide them a platform are the people who are not ready to receive sound doctrine. Lastly, how do you remain faithful to the cause? Verse 5, it says, as for you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. What Paul's impressing upon Timothy here is be sober. This is not about abstinence. It's not about abstinence from alcohol. It's just about alertness. Be aware of the consequences that that you have when you are preaching the word. Endure suffering. This imperative of enduring hardship and suffering, there's an implicit imperative behind it, and that's expected. You know what? If you preach the word of God, you're going to you should expect some sort of suffering and some sort of hardship. Okay, and do the work of an evangelist. Colossians 1:28 says this. It says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete and perfect before Christ." Let that be our call, to do the work of an evangelist and to preach the prophetic word of God, not only by tongue, but in everything that we do. And lastly, it says, fulfill your ministry. Brothers and sisters, last Thanksgiving, Pastor Sam, I hope he's not really listening to this, right? He doesn't really do that. But I was having a conversation with him, and we're just talking about different preachers around the world, and he says something really interesting. He says, so many people start well, but they don't finish well in ministry. And that's mainly because I was like, I'm so this and this, I'm so burnt out, whatever, right? And he said, a lot of people start well, but they don't finish well in ministry. And I really took that to heart. The best illustration for it is there's a U.S. representative from Kansas named Jim Ryan. He in 1972, he qualified to run the 1500 meter in the Munich Olympics, and his testimony was recently on, so that's why I know. But he was a favorite. He was the youngest person. He was the youngest U.S. athlete until that time to qualify for the Olympics at the age of 17. And 1500 meters, he's getting ready for the race. It goes off, and about 500 yards in, he takes a fall. He takes a fall, and everyone's watching. 90,000 people are watching this favorite, this Olympic favorite to win the gold medal. He takes a fall, and then at that point, everyone's like, what is going to happen? Is he going to walk off? Is he going to give up? Is he going to go to the, is he going to sock somebody in the face? What's going to happen? And the guy gets up, and he just finishes the race. And if you read on from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 6 onwards, it talks about Paul says, I'm finishing well. I'm going to finish the course of my race. And that's exactly what Jim Ryan does. He finishes the race, and when asked, he says, I knew I wasn't going to win the gold medal, but I'm going to at least finish what I at least started. So let that be our charge in everything that we do, especially when we pray for our pastors, and other pastors around this world, and that the health of a church, the health of Christianity, really comes from preaching the prophetic word of God from the pulpit. So I'll just finish there. That's a bit longer than I expected. But let's pray. Let's just take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for this morning. Father, Lord, I just thank you that you have given us the great task to preach your word, God. Father, Lord, we just lift up all of our pastors, Pastor Sam, Pastor Ricky, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Andrew, Pastor Salamat, Pastor Nate, and Pastor Mary, God. All the pastors in the church, we just lift them up, Lord. Father, Lord, we also just pray for Pastor Sam as he just prepares a message for tomorrow. Father, Lord, I just pray that right now that you open up the gates of heaven and that you, that you just give him wisdom, God, in terms of how to convey your message for tomorrow, Lord. Father, Lord, we just, we take the mandate of preaching and living a Christian life very seriously, God. Help us, Lord, to do it when we are discouraged and in a season of fruitfulness, Lord. Would you just encourage us and to help us persevere to live the life that you've called us to live, Lord. Father, Lord, when we are preaching or when we are teaching and when we reprove, rebuke, or exhort, God, Father, Lord, I pray that you help us do it with love and that you help us bring other brothers and sisters to the cross, God. Father, Lord, give us great patience and give us great instructions, Lord, as we just continue to fulfill this part of our ministry. Father, Lord, we love you, and just in your precious name I pray, amen. So let's go on to our Saturday prayer topics. Mission focus, let's pray for North Korea, open doors for ministry, and also for missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. And let's also lift up the persecuted churches, and especially what's going on in the Middle East. As you guys know, North Korea recently just, again, rattling their sabers. They just built an engine to launch their another test, apparently. So, do lift them up. And especially, just lift up or just think about what happened in London this past week and about the different kind of persecution that's happening around the world. Let's lift that up. Let's also lift up the SP weekend gatherings. So prison outreach, drug rehab, Sunday services, Noah's Ark worship, hospitality, SP Youth, Yahweh, SPIN services and activities, all EG, GIC, men's and women's discipleship, single life workshop, and all sons meeting and all meetings. I think the all sons meetings from last week. But also, let's pray for... let's pray for Alpha. They're having their first week today, and they're meant to be meeting here today, this morning, but because of the leakage, they're not sure if they could actually continue to host it. They will host it, but they just have to be creative with how they use the space, because I don't think the AC will be turned on later, right? So let's lift them up, and let's lift up the volunteers, the brothers and sisters who are ministering to this new crowd. They are the ones at the front line of preaching God's word and showing God's love to the lost. So let's lift them up for a bit. I don't mean that they're not going to meet, by the way. I just mean that they're going to have to get creative with the space because we have a leakage in the back. So, just the venue is not in the most optimal place because we might actually have to turn off AC, as I was told earlier. So just lift them up. There's going to be a lot of people who are coming, right? The third is SP 2.0's new building and resources and the benefactor. Let's go after it. You know, like, this is one of those things that we've just been praying for I don't know how long, right? But let's really go after it. Let's pray in such way that God's going to make a decision because we came out to pray today, right? Because we're the ones praying today that he's going to open up the gates of heaven for it. So that should be the mentality when we take this up. Let's pray for health searches I mean today, Mawan, McDaddy, Robinson Bay, Tavistock, Westside. Let's pray for the leaders as they just prepare a time of discussion and facilitate what was preached last week. So let's lift them up. Lastly, let's lift up SP annual retreat. So starting yesterday for the next two Fridays, there were retreat prayer meetings. Let's lift those prayer meetings up, but also the actual retreat itself. Let's pray for the speakers, that they'll get something powerful from God, and that we'll also be ready to receive the messages. So let's pray for the congregation. Let's pray for the staff and all the other organizers. Let's pray for venue and logistics, anything that comes to mind. And I really encourage everyone to come out to the retreat prayers coming up in the next few weeks. And the next thing I want to pray about is not on the board, but let's really, really pray for tomorrow's message. This is a topic that that's very personal to me because I've known people who went through the process and has considered the process, and this is what the church needs to hear. The church needs to hear how we should handle these kind of issues and these kind of topics. So let's really lift up Pastor Sam and the service tomorrow that he so let's just pray for the service tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, and let's finally lift up our other pastors as well. Pastor Nate, Pastor Ricky, Pastor Andrew, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Salamat, Pastor Mary. These guys are the ones who carry the mantle of God's word for this church. And I just really want to spend a time honoring them, for they have a very difficult task. So let's really pray that this year that God would just shower them, multiply blessings upon them and their families, and through them, our church, and that our church will be ready to go to different places and do the same. The church takes after the culture that the pastors set, and we should be And our pastors are competitive, as you guys know, but we should be competitive in winning souls for God's kingdom. Yeah, we should be competitive. Like, this thing, it should not be taken lightly, and we should be competing day in and day out to win God more lost souls. Yeah, so let's really, really lift them up. Yeah, and let's also lift up the church, the universal church, that in all places that the gospel will be preached, and that and as people are leaving the church, that there will be more people coming back, and that there will be something attractive about the way we treat others, and that we treat the truth. Yeah, so let's lift up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning, God. And Father, Lord, we thank you for, just the mandate, again, that you have given us to preach your word, God. Help us to just not only preach with our tongues, but with everything that we do in our hearts that's pure towards you, God. Father, Lord, we lift up our pastors, God. And, help us to just love this world, Lord, and really, we just thank you, God, for giving us the privilege to join you in your intended purpose of reaching out to the world through the word, God. So we thank you for who you are, and we bless you. In this precious name we pray, amen. Enjoy your prayer time.